Shalom, welcome to Tanya Definitions. We're holding Ois Aleph. It's the second class. We're in Avos Hashem. So last week we spoke about Ava Rabba, Avos Oilem, Nafshi Visicha Belailos, or Belaila, and Kabod Ishtada Bosavi V'imoy. Those are the four kind of paradigm loves that the Tanya gives. And now we've got another few loves to finish Ava, and then we'll get into other stuff. So though some of these aren't spelt with an aleph, they are under the heading of Ahavas Hashem. Even though so these are the different Ahavas Hashem. So one of them is called Kamayim Apanim Lapanim, but that's still under aleph. Okay, so the next love that we're discussing is called Ahava Mesuseres, the hidden love, and it's actually not so much a love. It's really describing the essential bond that every yid has with Rabbeinu Shlomim. It's possibly the most important subject in Tanya. It describes the fact that Bnei Yisrael and the Rabbeinu Shlomim are inextricably bound up with each other. And it's called Ahava Mesuseres because it's hidden, meaning in our default perspective, when we're looking at the world through our fleshic eyes, which is what regular people do, this love is not experienced. And it is a love that is inherited, which is a big question, because you can't. You could inherit a loving nature, yeah? If a man's father is very loving, then the chances are that he'll also be quite loving. But what he will love, that can't be predicted. So this is a love of God, yeah, but it's an inherited love. So the question is, well, how can you inherit a love? And that's the point. The point is it's not just a loving nature. That's not what it is. It's not a conventional love. It's describing the unity of the Jewish soul and the Creator. That's what it is. And that's why it's inherited, because Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, they did the hard work, the zeicher, or however you want to describe it, but whatever it is, they became godly. It wasn't that they just had really good midos. They were mamash el acoustic. They were godly. They were godly people, and just like lahavdil, just like monkeys give birth to monkeys, and lions give birth to lions, and humans give birth to humans. Yisrael gives birth to Yisrael, lahavdil. Yisrael is it's a different bria. Even call it a bria is already not correct. It's a different kingdom or phyla. I don't know what the right word to say there is. So now, when does a person experience this love? The most obvious time when a person experiences this love is during a matzav of Mesiras Nefesh, when your Yiddishkeit gets put to the test and you have to choose between bowing to the idol and or death. If that ever happens, then this love will flare up. So for a couple of reasons, there's the idea of the less important idea, but the during the fear of an assign of death, yeah, the animal soul, your human element, yeah, will be silenced. So that's part one, but that's the smaller part. The most important part is that this love kind of is aroused. It breaks free, and it's this love that allows the Jew to be moisim nefesh, meaning he will give up his life, she will give up his life, she will give up her life, because there is no option. It's like a question: if someone puts a gun to someone's head and says to him, your life or who you are. He'd be like, what are you talking about? I'm more godly. I'm more a part of God than I am alive, the Jew says. The Jew says, my humanity, my mortal, I've got this human side to me. Yeah, that's important. But I've got who I really am. That's called the nefesh elokis, or the neshama, and that's bound up with God. So that's the Ahavah Mesuseris. The Ahavah Mesuseris is describing the essence of who we are, and that's why when we get put in that situation, hopefully we won't. But if we get put in that situation, you don't have a choice in the matter. It's not that you choose to give up your life. There's no choice. There's no choice. That is just reality, and your body gets presented for what it really is, which is just it's a temporary dwelling for your reality. Okay, so that's the Ahavah Mesuseris.
Is that why when the by the Shoah, people who were not even from whatever, they went in with the Shema Yisrael that comes from that?
Yes. Absolutely, and it's ex the Tanya, when the Tanya portrays in chapter Yud Ches, yeah, which is where it's Yud Ches and Yud Tes, where this love is talked about, but primarily, when the Tanya describes the what it means Jewish Mesiras Nefesh, it talks about a secular Yid. Why doesn't it talk about Rabbi Akiva? You know, there were lots of tzaddikim throughout their life who gave up their lives to their Yiddishkeit, yeah, for Hashem. So why does the Tanya come and bring Mamash Kalsheva Kalim? Brings a secular Jew. And listen to this, it's amazing what you learn from this, is that if it had brought a big tzaddik, yeah, if the Tanya brought a big tzaddik and he explained, you know, when the goy comes to him, puts the gun to his head, says, your God or your life, doesn't say your religion or your life, by the way, he says, your God or your life. Then you might think if the Tanya was talking about a big tzaddik, the tzaddik could like scratch his head and say, you know what? He'll say it internally, but say something like, look, my whole day is dedicated to Avodas Hashem. My whole life, what would my life be like if I wasn't allowed to serve God? And he makes a cheshbon and he says, you know what? What kind of life is that to not be able to serve God? Might as well just take my life. That is not Mesiras Nefesh. That is, in a sense, a self-preservation. The Mesiras Nefesh is when the person has no reason to give up his life. The tzaddik who's spending 24/7 involved in his religion and his divine service, and the guy puts a gun to his head and says, give up your lifestyle or I'll kill you. He'll be like, well, if I don't have my lifestyle, then what am I? That's like giving up my life for freedom. Freedom is more important to me than my life. My lifestyle is more important to me than my life. Then, well, what's the big deal about that? That's just like, you know, that's what we call natural Mesiras Nefesh, which is really called Shmiras Nefesh, meaning you're looking to preserve your identity. Your identity is that of a religious man, and now somebody's threatening that, and you are going to preserve your identity by giving up your body. That is not called Mesiras Nefesh. That is called Shmiras Nefesh. So the Ahavah Mesuseris flares up, and the secular Yid would very likely be looking up to the sky and thinking, what am I doing? Just bow to the idol. No, can't do it. Why? Don't know. You've heard stories like that in the show, you know, about these kappas and these guys and Yom Kippur and all these kinds of stories of these secular guys who all of a sudden they couldn't do it, and they gave up their lives for what it was, and they'd been against Yiddishkeit their whole life or whatever it is. That is the flaring up of the Ahavah Mesuseris, where their cognitive self is saying to them, what are you doing? You're being crazy. And they're just like, nope, can't do it. I would rather suffer unbearable torture and death than do what this guy is asking me to do. So that's exactly the point there. It is a like you were saying in the Shoah, it's Dafka describe it's Dafka not described. It is best seen, what's the word? It's best demonstrated. This love is best demonstrated by a secular person, even though the frum person will have the same experience, but with the frum person, his external world is also saying, give up your life. But that's not what Mesir's Nefesh is. It's because his identity is being threatened. That's the frum Mesir's Nefesh. That's available to all human beings. The Jewish Mesir's Nefesh is coming from the divine soul, which trumps the mortal desire to live, to survive, which means to protect your identity. So it will give up its identity. And this is a big topic. We could talk about this for a long time. But that's the Ahavan Mishnah. It's describing the natural state of the Jewish soul. And it's called hidden because it stays latent and covered under the fact that we are primarily identified with our humanity as opposed to our divinity as a Jew. That's the regular Jew is more human than Jewish, is more human than divine, not by creation, but by identification. In truth, the Jew is much more divine than anything else. But because we're embodied in this world and we have, we've 2,000 odd years of Galus, etc., we primarily look at the world through our mortal self, through our humanity, as opposed to through our divinity. A tzaddik is the opposite. A tzaddik has become identified with his divinity as opposed to his humanity. Okay. Now we have another kind of love called Kamayim Haponim Laponim. Okay, this is chapter 46 in Tanya. The truth is, it's a few chapters. It's a very simple concept, but it's very profound and beautiful. It basically says, like Kamayim Haponim Laponim, we call it the reflective love. Your face is reflected in the water. And it means that when you love someone, and it's with a genuine love, when you love someone genuinely, they love you back. Simple as that. The heart's kind of what's the word? The frequency of the hearts, whatever it is, the strings of the heart pull the strings of the other heart. So the idea of the face reflecting a face means that when I love you, you love me. When I love you with a genuine love, that's why it's ponim. Because ponim, there's two, we said this before, there's two extreme relationships and then endless levels in the middle. There's the relationship of face to face, ponim laponim, and then there's the face,
Back.
then there's, back to back, which in Kabbalah they just call ach la ach, acher la acher, or achur la achur, just call it ach la ach. So there's ponim laponim and ach la ach. Yeah, face to face and back to back. A face-to-face relationship is the default relationship, Bezrat Hashem, as parents and their children, where I don't want anything from my kids. And hopefully, the kids don't want anything from their parents. Meaning, you're in it. It's a selfless love. My relationship with you is about you. It's not about what I can get from you. Yeah, that's called an essential relationship. That's called face-to-face. A back-to-back relationship is your relationship with the cab driver. It's a transactional relationship. A business relationship, meaning I don't care about the taxi driver. I just care about getting to Ramayma, and he doesn't care about me. He just cares about the fee for the ride. So that is a back-to-back relationship. Now, both those relationships are actually reflected. When a man loves, when someone loves somebody else for themselves, not for the person. You're loving that person for that person, nothing you can get from that person, then that person, I mean, they still have Bechira and they could resist it, I suppose, but the nature of this love, or the nature of the person, will be to love back. When you love someone with a genuine, selfless love, naturally they will love you back. They have the option to resist that love if they so desire, but the way the mechanics work is that if you love somebody genuinely for themselves, they will love you back genuinely for yourself.
Is
And
that the, maybe the word is resonate?
resonate, yeah, good, yeah, your heart resonates with them, yeah, I think that was the word I was looking for. Yeah, so you do.
Is this Avashena Tuli Bedavar?
Yes, exactly. That's another way of saying it. An Ava Talia Bedavra is called Achla Ach. An Ava She'ena Talia Bedavra is called Panim Panim. That's just the way the Mishnah says it. And I was just saying the way the Kabbalah says it. Absolutely. This is really the key, from my understanding, this is the absolute key to Shalom Bais and Chinuch Banim. This is the first shlav. I don't know why I was never taught this when I became, I wish I was. But when I got married and I became a father, it took me many years to learn this until I'd learned this many years later. And it's the foundation to everything. And it's summarized by saying, like, it's not my Rav Manis speaks about this as a kind of I've got some experiences now for my own life now that I could talk about. But Shalom Ablazer, that we're just talking about Kamayim and Panim Lapanim, explaining the and we just spoke about Ava Mususeres. You might like to re-listen to that. That was that's a helpful share if you give over if you give Tanya classes. That's a helpful definition. So what Rav Manis spoke about, he spoke about many times, is a guy came to him and said, "I'm really confused because my wife just told me she wants to get a divorce, and I love everything about this woman." And he started going on. He says, "She's beautiful. She's great with the kids. She's kind. She's wise. She's intelligent. She's v'chule v'chule." And Rav Mani said, "Yeah, but what about her?" He said, "What do you mean, what about her? I love everything about her." He said, "No. What about her?" And the guy didn't know what he didn't. Bichlal understand what Rav Manish is talking about, because you've got the person who has the qualities. That's why they're called qualities. You need a thing to have qualities of. Qualities aren't something unto themselves. The qualities are the qualities of a certain thing. Like gold has certain qualities, wood has certain qualities. So a person has certain qualities. But if you're being distracted by the qualities, well, what about the person? And this is the crazy thing, is that your love for those qualities is the same as your love for pizza. This is really disturbing. If a man loves his wife, like everyone knows that it's krum to love your wife for money. Yeah, a man marries into a wealthy family, yeah? Everyone knows that that's krum. A man married a woman for her money. Yeah? She's an heiress of, millions of dollars. Now, everyone knows that's krum. What about marrying her because she's kind? What about loving her because she's intelligent? Yeah? If you really boil it down, it's the same thing. You're loving something about her. Now, this Prost the guy, he loves money. So the Ava Talia Bedava means that the Dava by him is the money. And she's an appendage that comes along with the money. So I suppose I have to take her as well. It's the same with kindness. It's the same with intelligence. It's the same with a sense of humor. It's the same. All of those things are psachim to the person. But if you get caught up in them being the person, then actually the person is being hated. At least relatively. You understand?
Why hated?
It's a relative. This is what the term in Kabbalah of Sina, when you talk about Hashem hating Klipa and Sitra Achra, it's to do. It's called a relative hate. Meaning, if a man is married to a woman for her money, but he quite likes her, she's not. She's fine. In fact, he likes her, but he's primarily married to her for the money. Then in Kabbalah and Chassidus, it's called hate. He hates her. It's not what we would describe as hate, but it's relative. So the thing that he really loves, she's secondary, that would be called hate. And that causes distance. That relationship is destined to become further and further, more and more separated. And that's the avoidance of marriage, because when you first marry your wife, you don't marry a person, you're marrying qualities. You have to marry qualities, there's no option. But you have to, as quickly as possible, make the transition from her qualities to who she really is. And that's why you see at the end of life, I've got this my best friend when I was growing up, his father is now, I don't, it's not called Alzheimer's, it's one of these degenerative Moichin dicker machlas, and he's just getting worse and worse, and he's really, there's no one there anymore, basically. And his mother is just looking after him, after her husband, 24/7, with utter dedication that most people are looking at with in astonishment. Like, how can you do this? You need a break. Put him in a home, all this stuff. And she's like, no way. Why? Because she's married to him. That's the proof at the end of life. We shouldn't know, but that's the proof at the end of life that a marriage was a real marriage. Not that we should have to prove it, because it should be without having to prove it. But that would be a proof at the end of life when someone loses all of their qualities and the other is still dedicated to them, that shows that the person wasn't married to qualities, they were married to the actual person. So this love, Kamayim Apanim Lapanim, is all about the relationship with the actual person, that they are not an, it's not an Ahava Talui B'Davar, not a love dependent on something, it's a true love. Okay, onward. Okay, so we have an Ahava Aza Karishbe Eish. So this is a unique love, a very unique love. In this love is talked about in chapter 50. Ahava Aza Karishbe Eish. It's a love from the left side, which is very unique because love comes from the right side. Yeah, but this love comes from the left side. So what's the inyan of this love from the left side? See, love in general, even the selfless loves, which are, it's quite difficult to explain that. I don't even know if I understand it personally myself. But love is basically has an agenda to get more, in a sense. Even if that means giving itself up, it's giving itself up. The love that we spoke about called Kabbara, which is the love of the child to the father, which is represented more by the adult child to the elderly father, where again it's like that idea of Rahman al-Salah, of nursing the parent to death. Yeah, that's not like raising your children. That takes a different kind of love. That takes a much more selfless love. For a man to nurse his elderly father to death takes a much more selfless love than a man to put energy into raising his children. Yeah, it's a completely different dynamic completely. And even in that case, it's a kind of a bittle in the bigger, it's a bittle in your source. That's what it is. It's a nullification in the source. So in that sense, there's still an element of self to it. I'm not quite sure. However, this love is a love which is actually looking
Washing
to.
machine broke. A million things to move. Oh, shit.
I don't think that was for us. So the Ahava Aza Karishbe Eish, the love from the left side of the heart, that is a love that wants to extinguish itself. It's pining to just leave this world and merge back with reality, the oneness of reality, to merge back into Hashem. And that come that's why it comes from the left side of the heart, because the left side is gevurah, which is the inyan of a miut. It's constricting and getting smaller. So that's it's a very unique love that is generated by our understanding of reality, meaning that you are not something separate from reality, okay? And with a deep understanding of that, the Rebbe says that you will experience a longing to merge back into it, which would be comparable to a small fire, a small flame on a match,
Going up.
wanting going up, but also wanting to get sucked back. And when you put it next to a big fire, you see it get
Isn't
sucked towards the fire, and then if you actually put it in, it will disappear into the fire. That's the agenda of this love. That's the agenda of this love.
Is that when the flame, when you see the flame going up, it wants, like the Neshama wants to go back to its source? That's
That's it.
the.
So, see that's it, they kind of cross over in that sense. That's really talking about the Ahava Mesuseres that we were just speaking about before. But it crosses over because it is the same idea. This love is a love of it just wants to go. It is like that. It just wants to go back to its source. It just wants nothing to do with this world. That's really what this is about.
I think I saw something years ago. I was in a psychiatric unit, and there was never a younger person, maybe in his 20s, and his father must have been in his 70s or 80s, came and was shaving him and taking care of his younger disabled person in the psychiatric center. And I found it like he was a very old man coming in there, like walking very slow and shaving him,
Wow.
taking care of his son. It was like,
Wow.
I remember that. It was very poignant to see
Yeah,
that.
I hear that. I hear that. That sounds very, that sounds something I would remember. Wow. Okay, we'll finish off one last love and then we finish Ahavas Hashem, and then next week we'll start on Oraisa Kutcha Bricha Kul Echad. So the last love is called an Ahava Mishaseres B'moicha V'Tanu. Which we actually just discussed in the last class in the Tanya Outside In series that we're giving. And Ahava Mishaseres, it means a hidden love, but Moicha V'Tahalu Moiz, in the mind and in the recesses of the heart. This love is not an actual love. What this love is it is a conviction of love, meaning it makes sense that you should be feeling love, but you're not feeling love. This is a very important idea because this love, even though like to call it a love is a bit weird because it's not really a love, but this experience, yeah, this so to speak, intellectual love. See, the emotions in the body are generally chemical, yeah. The way you feel when you feel like you want to just, shout at everyone and be horrible, yeah, that's chemical. When you feel like expansive and like you want to. You want to just give people stuff. That's usually chemical, yeah? Those are different chemicals running through the blood. Ahava and Yira are mechanical. Yira, when a person has Yira, genuine Yira, his heart beats faster. That's a mechanical difference. It's a physiological difference, but it's mechanical, not chemical. And then you've got, I love this, Manus explained that love. Real love is when your heart pumps to a different rhythm. Isn't that cute? Isn't that gorgeous? When a person's in love, their heart pumps in a different rhythm. When they're scared, when they're with fear, their heart pumps quicker. But when they're in love, their heart pumps to a different rhythm. So that's a mechanical difference. So it's always a physiological difference. Emotions are physiological. They exist in the body. They come from high places, but they have an actual element of physicality in them or physiology with them. So this Ahava Mishaseres B'moicha V'tanu Moiz, does not have a physiological counterpart. It lives in the brain and in the concealed part of the heart, which means you don't experience it. It's not a palpable emotion. The heart is not pumping to a different rhythm. What is it? It means you've paid the due diligence and you've worked out that it makes sense that you should be head over heels in love with God. It makes sense. You don't feel it at all, but you know that you should feel it. You're clear enough on reality to know that I should be burning with love for God. I should be, but I'm not. And that love is enough to spur action. And that is fabulous. That's amazing. And this love, I think, for my own, for you know, when I think about it in a practical sense, is the most important love in the sense that this is the kind of love that, you know, that is regularly required in marriage. You know, how often is it that we feel palpable, visceral emotions towards our wife? Yeah, it's probably more often not like that. But this kind of love, where you know that it's fitting to love her in that way, and that causes you to behave correctly, yeah, that's really that's Gewaldic. And it says that Hashem actually, he treats it when you do mitzvahs with this love. And Avatalumos, when you do mitzvahs generated by this love, Hashem judges it as a mitzvah that you did with a genuine, visceral, palpable emotion in the heart. To Hashem, it's no different. No different. And that's a very that's very that's great to know. Okay, so that is the I'm just gonna very, very quickly go through these very quickly. Okay, the Avmasuseres is the
Sir, just a question on the previous
sorry,
one.
yeah.
Does this love, this intellectual love, does it also create this resonating effect as real love,
Ah,
as panim
that is so interesting. I would assume yes. I would assume yes. For sure. For sure. For sure. Yeah.
to panim? Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Actually, I can't say for sure. I don't know. In fact, thinking about it now, I don't know the answer to that question. That's a really, really good question. Don't know. Because it's not really a love. So it's not the heart is reflecting another heart, it's the mind. Maybe your heart wants to. I don't know. That's a great question. Don't know. Worth doing some experiments to find that out. Okay. So the Ahava Mesuseres is not a love, the hidden love. It's the essential bond that every Jew has with the Creator. Okay. The Kamayim Apanim Lapanim means that the degree to what you love something genuinely for itself, it will reflect that back to you, and that will cause closeness. If a person loves something about something else, and it's not about the actual thing, that will also be reflected back, and that will cause distance. Okay, that's called an Ava Talia Badava. And Ava Azal Karish Be'esh is the love from the left side, which is like the desire to just not be anymore, which is opposite to general love, which wants more. And the Ava Musa says, B'moichavatan was Liboy, we said, is more a conviction in the mind that it makes sense to love, but not an actual palpable emotion in the heart. Okay, Shkoich, we did Avos Hashem. So next week we'll start on Oraisa, B'kud Shabrich, U'kul Echad. Shkoich.
Dr. Tversky talks about, he says he loves herring. He
Yeah.
says, if I love herring, why am I eating it? I love myself, therefore I'm eating the herring.
That's the
It's,
exact point. That's what we said. Like, if well, I said, you know, it's like how you love pizza. So when a man
right.
loves his wife for her wisdom, yeah, then it's the same
For
thing.
himself.
He loves wisdom, and that wisdom's giving him something. So what happened to the wife? Yeah, all of
Right.
everyone's traits are drachim, are prosdors to the person. Yeah, that's just a very important part of reality, mamash. Okay.
Right. See you tomorrow, Bezrat Hashem.
Bezrat Hashem, Shkoyach, Zaygus.
Also.